You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Get It Right Texoma with Trio. I'm Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. And this program brought to you in part by our friends at Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles, 401 Ooh. North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls, your power sports authority. I just made that up on the fly, by the way.
Boy, that's a good one.
Since 1966.
We sell motorcycles and stuff. I don't know about power sports and motorcycles.
Well, you do. Well, yeah. But you do. You sell side-by-sides, and I consider that power, man.
Oh, it is, definitely.
Yeah, if you got side-by-side, you got some power in your hands, man.
There's nothing like it. It is my favorite activity to do, honestly, is to go out and go ride trails and explore with a side-by-side. It's just unbelievably fun.
You'll never want a regular golf cart ever again.
Golf cart, small cart. There's nothing like going to the mountains.
Yeah.
On a side-by-side, ATV or motorcycle, but a side-by-side, especially because you take family and things like that, and go explore the mountains. You can go to so many places, and it's so much fun.
You can take the family anywhere if you got a big enough one.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't they make like a three-seater, don't they?
Six-seater. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you got to be pretty good friends in a six-seater to put six people in a six-seater.
That's true.
A
little intimate.
Yeah. Okay. But a six-seater will sit four very comfortably and five pretty well.
Nice. It is also being brought to you in part by Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop. Get them online, lpsweet.com, and also visit on Facebook, Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop, and by MacTech Solutions, located at 4020 Ray Road in Wichita Falls. Oh. Get them online at MacTech-Solutions.com.
Your authority for AirTags.
That's right. Apple AirTags.
I texted Terry and said, please remind me, because I texted him a couple of weeks ago, please remind me Thursday morning, I got to buy some AirTags.
Yeah.
So where did I go? MacTech Solutions. When I got here, and right here, and he threatened to break my knees if I didn't pay.
There you go. MacTech Solutions, 4020 Ray Road, Suite 3B, Wichita Falls, Texas. And we are broadcasting from the MacTech Solutions podcast studio.
There you go.
As well. So a couple of local items to mention here real quick. The Dallas Zoo is going to be at Riverbend Nature Center April the 23rd. Two shows at 10 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. It's a 45-minute interactive program.
The whole zoo's going to be here?
I think they're leaving the elephants.
Okay.
45-minute interactive program features animals from around the world. Admission's $5 per person. And babies age one and under get in absolutely free.
This is a really neat deal for Wichita Falls, because you think about it, it's a big ask to go take somebody to the zoo. I mean, especially the Dallas Zoo. It's a huge thing. First, it's expensive, and which is fine. I mean, but not everybody does that. Yeah. It's expensive. It's a day. I mean, if you're going to go to the Dallas Zoo, you're not going to drive to Dallas, go to the zoo, and be back home for dinner. I mean, it's a day. Whereas they'll bring the animals to you. You get to go there, have some interaction. Kids that maybe younger kids who don't do well in crowds or don't do well walking long distances and that sort of stuff, this is perfect.
Absolutely perfect. So that's going to happen.
By the way, just a quick pro tip on zoos. If you do have young children, I did recently last weekend, I took my grandkids to the zoo. I took them to the Frank Buck Zoo in Gainesville. It's a small zoo.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a small zoo in Gainesville. It's not tiny, but it's fairly small. And they're 3 and 5. So walking around the Dallas Zoo or Fort Worth Zoo, that's kind of a lot for a couple of young kids like that. But so they go see the animals. They get interact with the zoo animals and stuff like that. And it's only, about 80 miles away east of here on Highway 82, Gainesville, Texas.
Yeah.
It's a nice little zoo.
Yeah. It's a shorter drive than Dallas. Especially when you factor in the traffic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, 82. I mean, you could be in Gainesville easily. Well, a little bit of construction, but without the construction, you could be in Gainesville in an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, easy drive. If you want more information, by the way, about the Dallas Zoo at Riverbend Nature Center, 940-767-0843 is their number. April 27th and 28th, it's the Guardians of Freedom Open House and Air Show featuring the Thunderbirds. This is going to be the first air show that Shepherd has hosted in several years now. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to have the Heritage Flight, Wings of Blue, the Golden Knights, and F-35 demonstration team will be there. These open house and air shows are always really cool. I love going to these things because you get to get up close and personal with some aircraft that you normally don't get anywhere close to.
That's right.
Anywhere near. And you get to see some really cool pieces of Air Force technology, man.
Well, you could try, but you might be facing an 18-year-old with an M16.
Yeah, I was going to say, a bunch of guys with M16s with automatic rifles around. And
I'm not cool with that.
I remember the first time being up close to the stealth bomber when it first came out.
Oh, man.
Was here. And you, when I say close, you weren't right up on it. Obviously, they didn't let you touch it. They did have it roped off, but you could go around and look at it, and you could actually walk up on like a little set of stairs and kind of see the back of it, mm-hmm. so you can kind of see the stealth technology, the flaps and all that. It was really awesome.
Well, I got to see the B-2 when I got to visit Whiteman Air Force Base one time. Went TDY from Shepherd, and went up there, and we got to go in, and they put goggles on. they made us put goggles on, and they were scratched and when we went in the hangar.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
anyway. Can I throw out another event that weekend?
What's that?
So, the Southwest Wichita Falls Rotary Club is doing their sporting clay event that Saturday. Unfortunately, it's at the same time as the air show. That's the only time we could get it in. But, we're doing it at Northwest Texas Field and Stream, which is right there on the east side of the base. Most of the planes come out and bank to the east.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to have the best show in town
because
they're going to be coming out. But, I mean, the show's also going on, I guess, Friday afternoon and then also Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, but it's also later in the day because what time's the sporting clay shoot?
Sporting clay will be in the morning, We'll start around 8, 9 o'clock.
So you'll be done in plenty of time to go over to the base and you're right there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I are the chair, so,
There you go.
If y'all know somebody who wants to sponsor or come out and, shoot a few clays.
In case y'all are wondering who IR is.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't introduced him yet.
We haven't. Michael Mitchell is with us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Glad to be here. A couple of reasons we brought you on the show. Number one, so you're involved with scouting, right?
One of many things, but that's the big one. Yes, sir.
I know that's one of your passions in life.
It sure is.
And working with those kids. So we want to talk a little bit about that. You're also a mortgage broker, right?
I am. Yes, sir. Yep. So, independent mortgage loan originator. Yes. Or mortgage broker, loan officer, whatever.
Yeah. So we definitely want to talk about that because it's kind of an important thing in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
So I would like to get into that a little bit if we could. But let's start, if we can, with I want you to introduce yourself to our audience and tell people a little bit about your background, who you are, and so forth.
Absolutely. So Mike Mitchell grew up over in Henrietta, Texas. And
Clay County, USA.
Yeah, good old Clay County, by God.
We won't hold that against you.
No, please don't. But, lots of good folks out there. Dad is a doctor, diabetic specialist. My mother was a teacher until recently out in Bellevue. She recently retired.
Uh-huh.
And good for her. So, I don't know, she may be listening to the podcast later on. But, So did Boy Scouts professionally after going to college at Oklahoma State. Boy Scouts professionally for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
Left that to do some work with a farm credit agency. Got laid off from that when another guy who had more experience needed in, kind of one of those unfortunate things. But it got me introduced to finance, and I really enjoyed it. Kind of spent a year a little bummed out, I guess, but went back and got my master's in education teaching certification because, I'm an Eagle Scout, so upward and onward, right? And so life kicked me in the teeth there, and I just went, well, all right. And so I just kind of backed up and punted and went and got my master's in education teaching certification, taught for 5 years, did four
overall or alma mater?
Yeah.
Kirby.
Yeah. Yeah, I did four tours of duty out there because Kirby was definitely a different place than when Mr. Sorala went there.
Tour of duty is a good way to put it.
Mike and I both went there. That's where we met was Kirby.
Yep. Right? I say that as nice as possible, but and people ask me why. People ask me why I left, and I tell them, if I want to be an alcoholic, I want it to be a choice, not a need. And so, I really enjoyed the teaching aspect. But I mean, obviously, Kirby's been in. Been in dire straits now for a few years, and it's tough. It's very taxing.
Well, so. Middle school is hard anyway.
Yeah, to begin with.
Middle school is hard to begin with, but yeah, Hershey has it poses some special challenges in a lot of ways. I tell you.
Oh, no doubt.
They've really, in all seriousness here, they've really battled over there as far as scores, testing scores, and so forth.
And they've actually rebounded some, but it's taken a lot of patience, a lot of time, a lot of work, resources,
a lot of work,
and a ton of extra resources to do it. So
it has.
The fact is, you can't fix home people. You can't fix home lives.
Yeah, no, you can't fix
parents, and that's the number one thing. No matter what you say, I was involved in education for 12 years, or longer than that as a volunteer, but 12 years specifically in the school board, and you cannot fix parents. You can't fix shitty parents.
No, you cannot.
Yeah,
you
can't. You're right. So anyway, I left that. I had a realtor friend that said, "Hey, you used to do some finance stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't you come out and do mortgages? You know, because she was a mortgage broker, and." I said, "Well, I don't know how to do that." And she said, "Oh, you get on, do this training, and you get licensed, and you know, then you start learning." And so I did that part time my last year teaching, and then decided to step out full time. Probably the worst time in history since the Great Depression to do that.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And so it's been a little bit of a struggle, but you know what? Trying to make some waves in here, and I mean, we can talk a little more statistics on mortgage brokers here in a little bit, but they're kind of interesting.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about scouting a little bit.
Yeah. So scouting's still going very strong here in the Northwest Texas Council. I was a professional here for 10 years. The day I left, I turned in my application to be a volunteer and so stayed on. My son, my youngest, is now in Troop 1, just got his first class. And then I've got two daughters now. One of them we fostered for a year, and then she got placed with us permanently. So awesome. I now have two teenage daughters in my house. And so that alcoholic thing is still not off the table.
I've been there.
Yeah. So, but Shanna, she's 15 years old. She's wonderful. I knew her from Kirby. She was a student.
Uh-huh.
She was also in our female Boy Scout troop.
Okay.
And so, and I know there are some people out there that just go, "I just don't agree with that, whatever." And to those kind of people, I say, you know what, whatever. Why don't you come to one of our scout meetings? And so, and I've had some people that have come and go, wow.
So, Matt, wait, go get in more detail on that. What do you mean?
Boy Scouts now is allowed.
What did they do?
It's still scouting. So the overall organization is still called Boy Scouts of America.
Right.
Cub Scouts kind of sort of went co-ed. In the sense that, you know, if you've got females in there, you're supposed to have a female, you know, Cub Scout den, you know, tigers, wolves, bears,
den
all that.
Den leader.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you have the boys, but really for the most part, they meet together because, I mean, they're little kids, who cares? Now, once you get up to what you guys all know is the Boy Scout program, 6th grade to 12th grade, 11 to 18, where you earn your Eagle Scout.
Right.
That program has been renamed Scouts BSA. To be, you know, a little more inclusive, and you have female Boy Scout troops and male Boy Scout troops. And so my wife and I, actually it was me and a friend from Kirby, started Troop 2 for our daughters. And so we are now in year 5, I guess. We've got 14 to 16 active girls. We've had 3 Eagle Scouts come out of it. My oldest daughter, Lorelai, who's 16, just got approved to do her Eagle project. So things are cooking along. It's a great program, but there's still some people out there that get a little negative about it. You know, boys should be boys, girls should be girls. And, you know, and the Girl Scout program, great program. It just doesn't fit everybody. Just like the Boy Scout program doesn't fit everybody.
But girls are girls. It's true. Boys are boys in this program. It is. It's still two separate deals. It's not like you're saying you mix together and we're going to have a kegger.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can tell you, you're sitting around the campfire with a bunch of girls. There's as much belching and farting going on as there is with the boys' troop. So, and they get into equally as disgusting conversations, you know.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
They are. And I just sit back and I love every minute of it. You know, we got a bunch of good kids. Mm-hmm. So it's been amazing really working with those kids and doing that.
Well, I mean, it's also just the changes. And I mean, I was never a scout, so I didn't have any dog in that hunt. But I, you know, on the surface, I get the idea. But, you know, things change, and just evolve with it. And I don't think the organization was kind of, I think if it seems that there was a bit of political pressure put on that we, you know, to include. So, I mean, you were much more intimately involved in the scouting Absolutely. Organization. So, you know, kind of the history of it better than most, but what, I mean, is that, so as far as you're concerned, obviously you're not, you don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem at all. Most of the time the people have problem with it are older folks. And I'm not going to put a number on that gentleman, but older folks. And most of the time it's people that only ever had boys.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what, when I was sitting there looking at my daughter, Lorelai, who's now 16, and I said, hey, Boy Scouts are going to allow girls in. So do you want to do Girl Scouts? Do you want to do Boy Scouts? Do you want to do both? And I mean, she had already heard about it. She was fourth grade. She said, Dad, I want to be an Eagle Scout like you.
Oh, hey.
And I tell you what, the gamut that we reach in Scouts is unreal. I mean, we've got, you know, from the very wealthy, you know, the upper echelon,
yeah,
down to the very poor. Last summer, we had two girls in our troop that went to summer camp. They were both homeless when we left, and one of them was still homeless when she got back. And so, you know, we do everything we can do. I mean, I'm sure you guys, I know all y'all follow me on Facebook, mm-hmm, and you see me putting fundraisers out there all the time.
I know.
Yeah,
well, I don't do Facebook. I don't follow anybody.
I'll just start texting you, Trey.
It's nothing personal. I don't follow anybody on Facebook.
Right. Well, but I know Mike does, and I see Terry's stuff too. But, you know,
with
I'm
him,
always
got to show up at his house and stand outside his window and go, hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what you got
to
do with him.
I might just start, you know, showing up mostly naked, and you can pay me to put clothes back on, Trey.
That's what I always said. That's how I'd make money at a strip club. You're I'd go up there and go, I'm taking it off. And they go, no.
Yeah. Put it back on. Put it back on. But no, it's great. And those kids interact, and it's amazing. You get kids out into nature, and it's it's amazing the things you can do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a lot about experiences, and this is what I've been saying for years. And this is one of the big divides that we have in education, especially when you go to your sciences and stuff like that. It's not black white. It's have and have nots.
Absolutely,
it's about experiences.
Sure,
the more experiences, like for instance, the zoo. Let's say this: a lot of kids that are elementary school kids. And if you're a have, you've probably been to a zoo because your parents can take you somewhere to go to a zoo. If you're a have not, you probably have never been to a zoo. And it doesn't matter what color you are. So what something like Scouts does, and to be fair, I used to be a Scout, and I did everything but Eagle Scout. And I actually regret not doing Eagle Scout. I've shared that
with
you. I did everything you could do in Scouting except for that. But what happens is these kids get to go out and they get to into nature. And all of a sudden, when they go to the science class and they start learning about, you know, chlorophyll, and they start, why is the grass green? And they start learning about air exchange and all that sort of stuff. It makes more sense because they've seen it.
Yeah.
Some of them learned about chloroform in my class.
Should have been
more. Does it smell like chloroform?
Yeah. But no, scouting is a huge deal. It is something that really can help bridge the haves and have nots. Like you said,
you're right.
You get the have nots who get in there and when you're around people who have more than you and you have the right mentality, you can learn from those people.
Yeah.
And you have people tend to be your scout leaders and stuff like that, or people who tend to have – that are fairly successful people who have time to dedicate to scouting, and they're good mentors for these kids.
And it opens doors. I love telling the story about when I was a professional scouter. We had a big Americanism dinner here, which Governor Greg Abbott came up and was a part of. And so he came up, but that morning I was out doing training. I think it was in Bowie. And so one of the guys that I got to know very well was actually one of the trash collectors. So here in the morning, you know, I'm talking to a trash collector, trash truck driver. And in the afternoon, I'm shaking hands and chit-chatting with the governor of Texas. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that scouting does for people.
Yeah.
Well, and one benefit, if you chose to go into the military gives extra rank, like the same as if you had college.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Eagle Scout.
Right. You can make Airman First Class right off the bat.
Yep.
You don't get to pin it on, but if you've got an Eagle Scout or a certain number of college credits already, then they advance rank you to
you got a leg up.
Basically, right. It's only about 6 months, but or no, I'm sorry, it's about a year. Actually, it's about a year's
worth.
It's a year's worth of extra pay right off the bat, and that's it.
Yeah.
But you can also sign up for 6 years and do the same thing versus 4 years. Yeah. But it does give advanced rank. If you're in Civil Air Patrol, if you're in and you did certain rank in the Civil Air Patrol,
even if you're in Civil Air Patrol,
and then in scouting, if you
let's bomb those motherfuckers. So. That's in Civil Air Patrol.
Which is funny you bring up Civil Air Patrol. One of the leaders in our troop, good friends of ours, her daughter is in our troop, and then she's also a leader. She's the commander, Kim Jackson. She's the commander of the local Civil Air Patrol.
Okay.
So I get a taste of Civil Air Patrol all the time, too.
All right. Well, let's start talking about mortgages here because we're looking at the clock here. We're,
We've got about 10 minutes or so. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about your mortgage business. Now, is Victory is the company you work with?
Victory Home Loans,
Victory
yes,
Home
sir.
Loans, okay.
So
that's a powerful name.
I like it, and I didn't bring this just for product placement. This has water in it, too.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the motorcycles on that one.
Like I told y'all, it's I went out and got a sinus infection so I could have the sexy raspy boys for being here today with y'all.
Yeah.
It's tough to do.
We appreciate you taking one for the team.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm a giver. I'm a giver, Mike. So you're welcome. But, so Victory Home Loans.
So many jokes there, and I'm not even going to go there. I know. We don't have time.
Thank you.
Improv stuff's
coming back. Yeah, So I started off with another broker here in town, and then I switched to be with another lady who was with another broker called American Mortgage Company, and they were based out of Allen, and so good people, great people. Allen is booming. Wichita Falls is Wichita Falls, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that bad. It's just we're kind of, we are who we are,
it
right?
It is what it is. That's
we're,
right.
We're not Allen, Texas.
No.
And so they weren't interested in helping promote or do anything up here. And then I met some folks when I went to training up in Pontiac, Michigan at a company called United Wholesale Mortgage, which is the largest lender in the country currently. And I met a guy from Victory Home Loans based out of Salem, Oregon, and got to chit-chatting with him. And he said, you know, our owner lives in Granbury, and we're actually moving our headquarters to Granbury, Texas. And I'd love for you to meet him, come to dinner with us tonight. And I missed dinner. Actually, I didn't miss it. I went early because I was starving, but Oregon's 2 hours behind us and they're 3 hours behind Detroit. So, you know, for them, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For me, I'm starving to death. And so, anyway, but I got to sit and chat with them. And then it turns out Stuart, the owner, we were on the same plane coming back. So we shared a car, shared dinner at the airport, and then flew back and just chit chatted. He came up and talked to us, and we switched over to Victory Home Loans, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing is that we are licensed in 15 states. And so I'm licensed in Texas and Oklahoma, but if anybody's moving mostly out west, and I can't name them all, but you know, it's California, Arizona, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Oklahoma, Texas, one of the Carolinas, one of the Virginias. And so anyway, if people are moving, and we're always looking to add more states, and so under the company, you know, I can put it under, you know, someone else's license, continue to work the loan and be your guy, and then, you know, continue to help you, the client, go where you want to go. Okay. Although I really want to focus here, you know, Wichita Falls and Oklahoma for the most part.
Well, I know I've heard some talk, and maybe you can elaborate for me. There's some changes happening in how mortgages are done in Texas. So there's a little bit of a shift in some way going on. What is that all about? What am I hearing there? Because I've just heard some scant details on
it. Well, so Mike, that's a great question. As far as brokers go, independent brokers like myself, so we are your wholesaler. So, you know, most banks have one line, and they'll take it to that one line.
Right.
And, I mean, their terms are their terms, period. What I do is I'm actually set up with 23 different wholesale lenders. And so I can go out, if you don't have the perfect A1 credit score, credit profile, I can go out and do a little shopping and find you the best deal. And so, however, what's interesting is in a lot of other states, brokers have about a 50% market share, 50% plus. California is huge. It's like 85, 90% plus. You don't go to a bank, you go to a broker.
Right.
In nationwide, we're like 26 or 27% market share.
Okay.
In Texas, we're running about 7%.
Wow.
So, you know, and I'm not saying banks are bad. You know, I'm not going to mention any around here. They're not bad. There's great people work there. I'm friends with a lot of them, and they do good work. It's just the broker channel does end up saving you almost 10 grand on your home loan overall. We don't have a big fancy office. We don't deal with deposits and securities and all that other crap. We do mortgages, period.
Let me ask you. So you obviously said people who are have a less than stellar credit, but can you help people, or can you help people that do have good credit? Is there a place in your for your services for people who do have 800 credit score?
Oh, no, we don't like people with good credit.
Right? Well, no, I'm just asking, can they save money? Can they save money with that direction as well?
Absolutely.
So you can work both ways. It's not just you're, the reason I'm asking that is because I'm in the business that I'm in. We do have some special finance lenders,
right?
That they only deal with that. They don't deal with the full gamut. But you deal with the full gamut. I just wanted to make sure that everybody's clear.
The whole gamut, and I mean, you know, we do all the FHA, USDA, VA, conventional. Different lenders offer different programs. For instance, United Wholesale Mortgage, they've got a 1% down. It's based on the area median income. And so if you're below that, you can do a 1% down on a loan. However, the company's kicking in the other 2%. So you're getting 3% for the cost of one. I mean, if you're buying a $200,000 house, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so there's lots of programs. Some of the companies I deal with really only do reverse mortgages, which have a little bit of a bad rap, but, you know, I get why.
Well, Tom Selleck said they're okay.
Yeah.
Right. Magnum PI said they're fine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and very basically, since I touched on that, I mean, real basically reverse mortgages, you know, the reason they get a bad rap is normally the parents, and you got to think about the generations that came before us, didn't discuss finances with their kids. Nope. So they go do a reverse mortgage, don't tell their kids all about it. Parents go into the nursing home or pass away, and the kids go, okay, I guess, you know, we're getting the house. We need to deal with it. And then the big bad bank comes in and takes it away.
Yeah.
Well, parents didn't tell them. But if you look at it from a different perspective, that you have spent 30 years of your life, most folks spend 30 years of your life paying off that house. Mm-hmm. That's a piggy bank.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, me personally, I want my parents to live comfortably in their home for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And I want them to be comfortable in retirement. And if it takes, you know, putting their house up.
Right.
Now, you do get the opportunity to buy it back, you know, at whatever the parents mortgaged it for. Yeah. But, and that's really where it gets a bad rap, is just that the parents aren't discussing it with their kids and letting them know what they do.
Well, you know, I've said for years that owning a home is the number one generator of wealth for the middle class in the history of America.
Oh, beyond question.
Yeah, but you literally, you buy a house, you buy it at a certain dollar amount. Over the years, you remodel, you change it. You know, if you're in it for 30 years, chances are you're going to do some work to it. Yeah,
hopefully you do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
But you're going to buy a house for, if you bought a house in 1975, you probably bought that house. Say for instance, if you bought a house by the base in 1975 in Wichita Falls, you probably bought that house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brick home, 2-car garage. You probably bought that house for about less than $30,000, and it was a couple of years old. It was in the early 70s or brand new. Yeah. Now that house, and it's been updated, remodeled, this and that. So you've probably put $25,000-$30,000 in it, but it's been paid off for a number of years. That house is worth $150,000,
easy, or more,
Absolutely. So therefore, you start looking at the amount of money you put in and your investment. Plus, you lived in the thing.
Right. You have to have a place to live.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So you have the extra benefit of a place to live. You don't have a rent. So, yes, but owning a home has been the number one generator of wealth, moderate wealth, middle-class wealth in America, in my opinion.
Well, and I want to address this, because I know there's a lot of talk, a lot of people feeling like, you know, well, the interest rates, you know, right now we're somewhere around 7% mark, somewhere
still
in that range.
Popping around there.
And people are like, well, I'm going to wait for the rates to drop, or I'm going to wait for the home prices to crash. That's my favorite one. I'm going to wait for the market to
everybody
crash.
Everybody else is, too.
Yeah.
It's like the market – first of all, the market, you don't want a market crash. That is the last thing you want.
Absolutely.
Because if the market truly does crash, chances are something catastrophic in the economy has happened, you won't be buying a house because you probably won't have a job.
That's true.
So you probably won't be buying anything. So you don't want a true market crash. That's horrible for everybody.
It is. And since you mentioned rates, rates, historically speaking right now, for us, they suck, right? Because we're used to twos, threes, and fours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Historically speaking, the average rate is between 7.5% and 8%.
Yes.
So we're not even up to average yet.
Yeah. I've shared this story before. And for those that don't know, I'm in the real estate business. I'm a real estate agent with Anchored Realty here in Wichita Falls.
It's a great company, by the way. I love
Thank
them.
You. Thank you. I'm loving
it. Well, they were until Mike got there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They were a great company, and now they're pretty
they've
good
gone
company.
Down a little bit, yeah. But, you know.
Thanks, Trey. Yeah.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Love you too, Puddin. Yeah. Anyway, we... That's my little nickname for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry's getting nervous because he's like, holy shit.
He's in the middle of all this. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. No, where was I going with this? Oh, a couple of years ago, I'd sold some folks a home. I bought a brand new home. It's about $230,000 brand new build home. And they were telling me the story. This couple, they're in their 60s now, I believe. And you know, this is going to be their final forever home. This is it. This is the last one.
Sure.
Their very first home they bought in 1981 or 82. Young couple. Very first, again, was a brand new build. They paid about $70,000 or $80,000 for this brand new home. Big, 2,000 square feet. You know, for the time, it was a big house, you know. Their mortgage rate was 18%.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And they had really good credit.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had 20% to put down because you had to back in those days. You had to put the 20% down. They had the 20% down, and they had great credit and 18% interest. And I said, why did you do that? We wanted a home. We needed a home. We got a home. They turned around 3 or 4 years down the road, refinanced it, got like an 11% rate refi.
Yeah.
And they were thrilled. They were like, good grief, we're robbing the bank at 11%, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you're right. I mean, we got spoiled. We did. This era right here in 2019, 2020, 2021, you know, I bought my house, the one I'm in now, right before the rates started to go down, you know, and it's like, oh, no. You know, I'm like, if I'd have waited 6 months, I could have got a better rate. Yeah. You know?
But this was all fake. This was all false.
It was
all propped up by the Fed and stuff like that. It was not sustainable.
That 2.5%, 2.65%, 2.95%, 3%, that was never grounded in reality, was it?
Yeah, but so, and Mike, here's the crazy thing, is I've got people out there that I talk to and I go, you should refinance.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I've got a 2.9 rate. And I go, yeah, but you've got $25,000 worth of credit card debt.
Yeah.
And they're like, but I've got a 2.9 on my house. And I'm like, listen, 7% on your house is better than 32% on your credit card.
Amen, brother.
Like, and so, and I'll tell you, so, all three of you know, I think, I also do rental properties.
Yeah.
And so that kind of pays the bills. And so I'm doing this. I want to help people.
Yeah.
And so, I had a friend that called me yesterday and he was just kind of at a point. I was like, you know what you're trying to do? Like, I really need to send you to somebody local. And he's like, man, I'm trying to throw money, trying to throw business your way. And I said, well, I understand, but it's not really a good fit for me and you're not in the right spot, but call me, I'll help you out. And that's what I do. People, so you brought up credit earlier. I've got a guy that I work with that does credit repair and he's very good at what he does. It's very cost effective. And so I do have realtors that send me stuff. And I mean, these people just aren't there on credit. And so I'll talk to them and I'll say, listen, I can refer you to this guy. Let's work on your credit. 3 or 4 months, we're looking at houses. And so some of the realtors haven't particularly liked that. And I'm like, well, I mean, there was even one that I could have gotten a loan for. But I'm like, man, the terms are just not good for you. Yeah, I'm just telling you.
And what's the term? A lot of brokers, I've heard this before, they say, not now, but when? At some point, I'll help you. That's part of what you do. Right. Part of your service is you help people get there. It's like meet with them. Okay, maybe you're not ready right now for this house, but here's the roadmap to get you ready for this house or whatever.
Right. And the point is, I'm not out there, trying to push you so I can get a paycheck.
Right.
I'm not desperate. I want to help people and do it the right way.
Sure.
And so, and I mean, I give them all the information. I say, here you go. And then I let them make the decision, you know, and I tell them what I would do if I were in their shoes. And a lot of times, well, I wouldn't say a lot of times, some of the times it's, you know, wait, work on your credit, do the right thing. Cause there's a big difference between 7.5% and 6.25%.
Well, and for you and I both in the businesses that we're in, part of our fiduciary responsibility to people is to guide them in the right direction. And sometimes now's not the right time to do it.
Absolutely.
Now's not the right time to pull the trigger on that house. Yep. Maybe you do need to work on the credit for 3 or 4 months or 6 months and then come back to the table.
Yeah,
or maybe
that's right.
Maybe you're shopping for homes that are way outside your range. I tell people, please, please, please go get pre-qualified.
Absolutely.
Before you start shopping for a home, there's nothing more heartbreaking than to fall in love with a property only to find out that it's $100,000 out of your price range.
Well, absolutely. Here's another pro tip on that one. I'm going to tell you, because I've seen this a lot with people just in general. Go get pre-qualified and then back off with about 20% on your payment. Yeah. Whatever they tell you you can afford, don't max that out.
Yeah, don't go to the top.
Well, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to have somebody's going to get sick, somebody's going to break a leg, yep. Your dog's going to die, whatever the hell's going to happen.
Give yourself some headroom.
Exactly. Yep. Do not max yourself out on payments. Well,
I have that conversation often. You've been pre-qualified for this. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let's sit and talk about it, you know.
Exactly.
And then again, you know, they'll ask me a lot of, you know, I've done a lot of real estate stuff. I've never been a realtor. But, you know, I've got a lot of rental properties and stuff. And so they'll ask me realtor type questions. And it's a little difficult because I want to guide them. But then I have to say, listen, I have to stay in my lane. I'm your mortgage guy. You need to talk to your realtor.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, yeah. I like to get it right, Texoma.
There you go.
That's what I like to do.
Love it.
How do people get a hold of you, Mike?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
Yes. Yeah. Good job, Trey. TheMichaelMitchell.com. TheMichaelMitchell.com.
So just like The Ohio State University, you're The Michael Mitchell.
Yeah, that's right. I am The Michael Mitchell.
That's it.
So.
And one more thing real quick that Mike is involved in that we haven't talked about, but just to show you that I still promote, Mike's an improv, Backdoor Theater Improv. Mike, right here, and I put this together, but am I not faking about this, and I didn't do this for this. Look what I promote here. Look, this is all what's happening in Texoma.
There it is, Backdoor Theater Improv. Love it.
Just to show you that, still in.
We still need to get you down, and
I know.
You need to come play with us.
My life has gotten so hectic with so many things, and I love improv. It's one of my favorite things to do, and I know, it's one of those things I know, when I got to make sure I'm all in, because I'll get hooked into it and I won't have time to do. I got to let something go before I can get it back in.
Absolutely.
It. Well, the thing about it is, you know, Trey's a business owner, Terry's a business owner, I'm a business owner. You know,
same.
You're a
business owner. When you're in business for yourself, especially when you're an independent contractor, you usually wear about 6 different hats.
Yes, sir.
And so you have to figure out a way to shed one of those hats before you move into something else sometimes, you know.
Absolutely.
Before you take on one more project or one more job.
But let me tell you, though, if you want some local talent, there's some very talented, locally talented people. Yeah. They let me play in, and I'm not talented, but they are. Let me tell you, there's some good local talent here. So if you do get a chance to go to a Backdoor Theater Improv show, there's going to be 3 more this year.
Good stuff.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great night. You'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Well, do you care if I plug a couple other things real quick?
No, go ahead, man.
So – going along with the Dallas Zoo being at Riverbend. So Riverbend Nature Center, the new executive director is one of our improv folks, Jenica Lambert. She's amazing.
Yep.
So Backdoor Theater is great. And not just the improv. Everything they do is amazing. Yep. I also have a podcast. I think we talked about it a little bit.
Yes.
Terry just started a group called Texoma Podcasters, Podcast in Texoma.
Collective. The Texoma
Podcast.
Texoma Podcast Collective.
Yeah, something I forget. Wow. I made it, but yeah.
Well, you just started it, so I don't remember. But I know it was for a group of podcasters.
And we want to get together and meet. So if you happen to have a podcast, look for that.
Absolutely.
I'd like to get a get together, maybe a meetup once a month or something. You know?
Texoma Podcasters Collective.
There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
So I have a podcast called Once Upon a Time in Texas. Uh-huh. I'd wanted to do a podcast for a long time. And didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I got into this mortgage thing and I thought, I'll do a podcast on mortgages. Mortgages are boring, man, to be real honest.
And there's probably a lot of them.
Well, there are. And I listened to some other podcasts and I thought, well, this sucks. And, you know, the other part too is, you know, Mike, you get the fun part. Everybody wants what you're selling. Yep. Nobody wants what I'm selling. Everybody wants the house. Nobody wants the mortgage, right?
That's right.
And unfortunately, that's just kind of what you have to have. But so then I was like, well, man, I don't want to do a podcast on mortgages. This kind of sucks. And somebody said, well, you like Texas history. Yep. You're always talking about weird off the wall stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah. Kind of like the elephant buried here in Wichita Falls. You know, that was a podcast. Uh-huh. And so I started that. And of course, it's, you know, sponsored by me and my mortgage company. Yeah. So that's good stuff. We also just started a couple of groups, Northwest Texas Council Boy Scouts Alumni. Mm-hmm. So if you are ever involved in scouting anywhere, it's NWTC Alumni.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, check that out. Join the group. We're going to start trying to get together, kind of like Terry's doing with the podcasters, get together. And then we've also got a NESA chapter, a National Eagle Scout Association chapter. Same thing. So we're going to be doing stuff together, promoting scouts around here, just kind of getting things going.
Cool.
All right.
Well, Mike Mitchell.
Thanks for coming.
The Michael Mitchell. The website. Right. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you very much, man. It's been fun.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can get on your podcast sometime. Maybe we can join you. You know, come over. I don't know what we're going to say.
I'll even toss y'all a couple of cards. I got brand new ones in.
Oh, awesome.
Or you could record your podcast here because I have all the equipment.
In the car business, this is called here,
Let's
wrap it up and we can do this afterwards. This is what's called the salesman surrender card in the car business. When you give your person your card, go, hey, if you really want it, call me.
Speed dating is what they.
Yeah. All right. You had to bring that up, didn't you? Anyway, thank you very much for joining us for this episode of Get It Right Texome. I'm Mike Henry. This is Terry McAdams. That's Trey Sorala. And it is brought to you in part by LPSuite.com, Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop. Again, LPSuite.com. MacTech Solutions, 4020 Railroad, Suite 3B in Wichita Falls, MacTech-Solutions.com, the website, and Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles at 401 North Scott, downtown Wichita Falls, EddieHill'sFunCycles.com, their website. We will see you next time for another episode of Get It Right Texome. Until then, take care. We will see you down the road.